there's a car along.
I'm walking through a place called Greswell Forest. It's buried in suburbia on the outskirts of Melbourne. It's so little known, even the ranger who's taken over its maintenance had never heard of it.
So this area that we're entering now is the wildflower patch.
What?
And this is the part of the reserve that has the kind of best remnant environmental values.
His name is Simeon Buckley.
And I'm here nearly every day, fluttering around the bush, caring for the place.
This patch of bush has been a restorative place for millennia. There's scar trees here, where the Wurundjeri Willem clan removed bark for shelter and building. Native fauna still roam free, only minutes from major roads.
I think I've got the best job in the world. I get to live in the city and work in the bush every day. I couldn't ask for a better job.
Oh, you got some pink ribbon tied around certain areas. What's going on here?
We're doing a burn with Wurundjeri tomorrow. And so I've gone around and just marked out plants that we don't want burnt in the burn. And these are a whole lot of maroon hood orchids, which until we started this environmental restoration project, there was none recorded in Greswell Forest ever, but they should be in this ecosystem. And then we fence this area off so that they can't be grazed by kangaroos, and all of a sudden we're getting thousands of orchids popping up everywhere. This is peak orchid season now.
After European incursion, this land became a natural quarantine zone for La Trobe Hospital, where patients were being treated for tuberculosis. Later, it was a place of healing for soldiers recovering from shell shock and PTSD following both world wars. These days, parts of this reserve need us as much as we need it.
Hey, Ryan.
Meet me.
Nice to see you.
See you.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me come along.
Oh.
Later. Ryan's been doing some laughing circles.
Right.
Yeah. Bush Connections combines forest therapy and volunteer conservation work to improve the physical and mental health of people with disabilities.
Hey, Josh.
Josh, this is Michael.
Nita McIntyre is a Bush Connections facilitator.
Hi. How are you?
Overall, the biggest aim is nature connection for the benefits for both humans and the environment that we're in, I would say. Yeah. So I work for a community organisation called Milparinka. So, yeah, we come along, we do some work for Sim, and we also do a little bit of forest therapy activities in the afternoon.
Right.
So, yeah.
What does forest therapy entail?
Basically nature connection, sensory-based nature activities, as a one way to put it. We don't follow the full sequence that a forest therapy walk would do. We use elements of that in our experience here, but it's great. Yeah.
Ryan, you've been doing this for a while?
Yeah.
What have you discovered?
The shweeh.
Yeah.
What else?
The sea.
That's it.
That's enough. That's enough.
We also do, from the forest therapy side of things, a tea ceremony at the end of every session, which is a part of forest therapy. And that's, you usually say that's your favourite thing. That's, yeah, always a favourite with everyone.
So. What happens in the tea ceremony, Ryan?
A cake.
Lunch. Cake.
Lunch. And a tea. Chocolate.
Yeah, we put tree sap.
Yeah.
And
tree sap,
yeah. Black wattle sap in particular, and some native mint through it.
Oh,
so the idea is you're literally drinking in. It's your last immersion in the nature that you've been in. You're drinking in the nature that you've just been in. So,
and then that goes with you as you leave.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's a lovely end to the day. Yeah.
Nita and Simeon Buckley the ranger have worked closely to build restoration for both land and person.
This plant is cranberry heath, the common name cranberry heath, and it's a food plant. It's got a little berry on it, like the size of a currant, and it tastes a bit like Hubba Bubba chewing gum, the kids' chewing gum. It's this really strong, amazing taste. And it's a really interesting plant because we can't propagate it. No one's ever figured out how to grow it. And some people believe that it needs to have an interaction with a reptile, like a skink or something, to eat the fruit and then go through its digestive tract.
Wow.
And then it might reproduce. But that's a theory. No one's ever been able to test it. So a really interesting plant, cranberry heath. And so there was only two little patches of it 3 years ago. And once you stop the kangaroo grazing, it's just covered. There's heaps of patches around the reserve. So for me, this is like a really cool sign to see this plant spreading everywhere in here.
I've seen some people who are not comfortable when we first get here, or kind of overwhelmed by the experience, just completely relax into it, and just basic knowledge of plants and, you know, what we're weeding. At the start, I used to have to, you know, point out each individual plant to pull out, and it's been quickly adopted into everyone's knowledge what we're getting out. Plant knowledge in terms of just knowing where we are in the park. It's quite a big park, and, you know, sometimes I get people to lead us back to, you know, where our transport is, and people used to get confused at the start, and got a kind of sense of belonging here, I guess.
Speaking of belonging, look what's happening over there in the distance.
Absolutely, yeah, that's a common experience for Mark. Often he might come here a bit overloaded, sensory overload, and he can quite often just find himself a really nice spot on a log and just relax into it, which is a really lovely thing. Yeah.
I can see even from this distance, about 50 metres away, that Mark is actually very content.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's quite apparent. And I think that's where Bush Connections really came out of, through me working with a young man who has autism, who is largely nonverbal. And we used to come here and do bushwalks, basically. And
that's how it began?
Yes. Yeah, coming to Greswell Forest just together. And it quickly became apparent to me how beneficial it was to both of us. And for me, it was a really different way of experiencing nature, because it was largely silent, not talking to someone next to you. All of a sudden, he'd just stop, sit down, maybe even pull his beanie over his face and just lie there. So that would force me to stop and look around me as well. And like I said, experience nature in a different way. And it's just undeniably felt better. I know I had conversations with his mum where, you know, a few months into our regular bushwalks, she said, "Have you noticed that he's in a really good space at the moment?" And I did, and it was just, it's not like some kind of silver bullet, but it just little things, like in terms of motivation, or, you know, it used to be that I had to kind of really get him going to start the day, and he would be ready, bag packed, lunch in there, ready to go as soon as I got there. And there was little things like, you know, one time I forgot my water bottle in the car, and we were walking along having a nice bushwalk, and he saw me looking in my bag and going, "Oh, I don't have my water bottle," and he must have seen me anyway. He ran up beside me and kind of gave me his water bottle, and things like that, which is quite out of character to a degree. You know, it seemed to, it's not like it wasn't there, but it seemed to increase a little bit more in this setting. So that was the real motivation for trying to introduce it to more people as part of your life. Yeah.
You're with Life Matters on RN. I'm Michael McKenzie, and I'm walking through Greswell Forest with some of the participants from the Bush Connections program. And as we pass through this fenced-off reserve area where native orchids are starting to return to the landscape, we come upon a remarkable structure.
What's going on here? This is a beautiful bush shelter by the look of it. Can I describe it as such?
Yeah, it's a shelter that we worked on when we first started, and we went through our first winter and kind of realised that it would be nice to have something to duck under when it rained when we were working in the wildflower patch. So we all learnt a lot.
Just tell people what it's made of.
So we have beans going across, and then we've put a cassinia, which we were weeding out of the wildflower patch while it was bendy still. We were using that as cladding in the middle part of the hut on the walls. And then what do we put on the top?
Leaves
and bark. So
yeah,
a classic debris shelter. Yeah. But we made it a bit bigger than usual. So yeah.
Can I go inside?
You can. Yeah, we'll move all the bags out of the way. It's a little bit.
That's all right. I don't mind. So it's kind of waterproof.
It is waterproof, but it's needing a bit of repair. So
I'm just going inside. Here we go. You'll hear my voice change. Go inside. It's a little low for me. I'm in. Wow, this is fantastic in here. Do you guys sometimes have tea ceremonies in here?
We have, when it's raining.
Yeah.
We've often popped under there at the end of the day for our tea ceremony. This is Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Mark, this is Michael.
Mark.
It's been great having him here. He's a nature lover.
I can tell by his face, he's actually loving just
absolutely.
Walking.
Yeah, he's a very sensory based person, and I think the first 6 months that we were here, he spent looking at tree trunks very carefully and up close and at different angles. So
the texture.
Yes.
So one of the key things that we've been doing here is removing coccinia to open it up to trying to restore it back to a grassland. Because when we came here 2 years ago, this was so dense with vegetation that you couldn't even push your way through.
And now we're standing in what's fairly open woodland.
Yeah. The Bush Connections program has been one of the most beneficial volunteer programs to the management of the reserve. Like, they've had to come in and hand weed the whole 4 hectare area. Like, it would have taken me months to do by myself or cost me thousands of dollars in contractors. So there's been fantastic outcomes for the park from this program. But I also just want to talk about the outcomes of the participants. Like, I just see such benefit in these people spending 1 to 3 days a week in the forest, in nature, developing a sense of ownership of the park. I feel like they're so proud of their efforts, and particularly this cubby house. Like, they've spent so long building that, and everyone that walks past it is so impressed by it. Now, every time they see me, it's, you know, we're big waves and smiles and lots of laughter. I think at the start of the program, people were kind of quite nervous about being outside in nature in an uncontrolled environment, a lot of sort of sensory overload happening.
Yeah.
And now it's just the opposite. It's just a joy to be here. And like, one of the absolute highlights of my job is just to come and have smoko with these guys, have morning tea and just sit around and kind of chat. It's really special. And then there's also been some other great benefits to the participants. We've now got a weekly volunteer, Rainer at Yarra Bend, who we met through this program. And now he's just volunteering with Parks Victoria through the normal volunteer stream. So he's doesn't have any particular support. Yeah, Rainer's got Down syndrome. He's operating brush cutters and leaf blowers just working as a normal volunteer.
Okay.
But kind of developed the skills to become a normal volunteer partly through this program.
That's fantastic.
So, like, really positive outcomes for people.
Often we'll just come and sit here by the frogs and close our eyes and listen to them. You can hear some running water there as well. Simple things like that. You know, we can spend half an hour sometimes listening, and yeah, because if you take that time to do it, it's a very rewarding experience.
So Bushkinder kids are one of the biggest users of Graswell Forest, and there's a couple of different Bushkinders operating here pretty much every day of the week. They do a lot of nature play activities like cubby house building and playing in the creek lines and stuff, which is fantastic. It's exactly what I want to promote. So the idea of this site is to build a dedicated play area for Bushkinder kids. There's a potion mixing spot just over there, there's a big log to climb on, there's a big eagle's nest which I'm getting them to weave. Some little kids don't have the kind of dexterity to build their own cubby houses, so we've built a frame so that they can then lay branches on top of and kind of easily come up with a cubby house, or just use it as a climbing structure.
Yeah, monkey bars.
Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty fun.
Do you notice the children loving being here?
Yeah, they do. We've had a fun play time, haven't we, Meg?
Yeah, that's great.
It's time for me to go. Simeon, Nita, longtime volunteer Gordon and I leave the adventure playground and head back into the reserve of Graswell Forest, where the Bush Connections team continue to give those native orchids the breathing space they need.
I've really enjoyed doing personally is I've been keeping a diary each week for over a year now of just things that I'm noticing while I'm here, whether it's a butterfly, you know, or which frogs I can hear, which flowers are blooming. And it's just a really lovely process because now I'm kind of looking back on it over the year and seeing the patterns that are emerging. And I recommend people doing that. It's a really nice way to get in touch with the patterns in nature around you.
Forest therapist, community social worker, sometime botanist, occasional ecologist, verging on David Attenborough.
It's something like that, yeah. I'll take it, yeah.
Yeah,
hi, Emily. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, hand pump.
Nice. Yeah. See you later, guys.
Yeah, mate.
Nice to see you.
Oh, Dad!
Oh, Dad!
Nice to see you.